Okay, we're recording again. Oh, let me go get Mr. Messman.
Did someone just join us?
Yeah, this is Lori again.
Hi, Lori. Welcome back. Perfect timing.
Oh, good. Well, I tried a couple times and it said I was locked out, so it worked.
Karen, you ready?
Was Shannon or something?
Yes, Shannon Leftwich from the BOC. She'll probably try again in a minute.
So can we repeat the motion?
Absolutely. Bart, go ahead with that.
The motion is not to open an investigation into Mr. Garrett Holmes based on the audit we received.
So take no action?
No action.
This is Chuck, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to not open a complaint against Jarrett Holmes in relation to his CU reporting as for the audit. All those in favor, say aye. Eric Fries, aye. Charles Bachman?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Jennifer Bailey?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, no complaint will be open against Mr. Holmes. Okay. All right, number 7, consent agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve that as written.
This is Bart. I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
This is Cheryl. I second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor, Eric Fries, aye. Charles Bachman?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, the consent agenda has been approved. Okay, we number 8, review consideration of possible action on applications for licensure. We have no initial reviews and 2 board review reinstatements. So, John Fierro.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Fierro submitted everything that he needed to submit in order to reinstate, but I did put him on as a board review because of the letter that he sent in regarding the reinstatement fee.
Right.
And, Ms. Karen, what fees have you received from him at this point?
His renewal fee of $175 and the reinstatement fee of $200.
Okay, thank you.
So, Karen, can you explain, well, that he said his license expired on March 1st and he had submitted everything via the portal on February 22nd?
He had not submitted everything. I included the 2 applications that were submitted on February 22nd, and I know that you all are not used to seeing these applications from Salesforce, but application number 909-5204 was started on February 22nd, and then I highlighted everything that was missing from that application, and it was eventually withdrawn. And then the same goes for the other application that was started on February 22nd, number 909-5206. The same information was missing from that as well, plus he did not answer any of the questions regarding discipline or arrests. So, and no fees were paid at that time either, so neither of those were complete applications.
Okay. But at this time, he's got everything in appropriately.
Now he does, yes.
Okay.
Cheryl, I move to approve Mr. Fierro's license, and since we have received all the fees without reimbursement of the $200 reinstate.
That was a without the reimbursement?
Yes.
Mrs. Bart, I'll second.
Then moved and seconded to approve the reinstatement application for Mr. John Fierro without the refund of the $200 reinstatement fee. All those in favor, Eric Freeze, aye. Charles Bachman?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Your new opposition, John Fierro's reinstatement has been approved with no refund of $200. Okay, 8B2, we have Allison Griffin.
Is there any other information you can share, Ms. Whiteford, with us?
No, she stated in her letter that her license expired on October 1st of 2018. And she also states that she did practice while her license was expired. Then I followed up with an email asking her approximately how many days she had practiced, and that's included on page 23 of your board meeting materials. She estimates it was 168 days, and she continued to practice after she became aware that her license had expired.
Just to clarify what you said, so she was informed that her license had expired, yet she continued to work after the fact?
Correct.
Just clarifying.
This is Bart. I move to approve the reinstatement application for Allison K. Griffin pending her acceptance of a consent agreement with the following conditions. 1 year probation, civil penalty of $500, 6 hours of continuing education and medical ethics, and the civil penalty must be paid within 6 months.
Any stipulation on the CEUs?
Oh, yeah, sorry. CEUs, CEUs must be completed in 6 months as well.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson, how many did you say?
6 hours of CEUs.
Okay. In ethics, medical ethics?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Chuck, I second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the reinstatement license for Alvin Griffin with the signing of a consent agreement stating 1 year probation, civil penalty of $500, paid within 6 months, the first 6 months, 6 hours of continuing education within the first 6 months. All those in favor, Eric Freeze, aye. Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Charles Bachman?
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley? Jennifer, are you still on?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, I was on mute and I was driving. Can I ask a question first?
Certainly.
So would her renewal then come up again in October, or would it be in May?
It will be in May. She'll have a new expiration date.
Okay, then aye.
Okay. Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, the reinstatement application for Allison Griffin has been approved with her signing the consent agreement. Okay, incomplete applications. We obviously have three on the list. Any Any concerns on any of the three for the board?
Any concerns?
No, they're still incomplete.
They're all still incomplete.
Okay, no concerns, okay. And then two incomplete reinstatement renewals, no concern with either one of those?
Sir, Kristen...
One expires today.
Yeah, Kristen Milliette, she submitted her statutes and rules exam over the weekend, so she's good to go. I tried reaching out to Michael Feliciano. I have yet to hear from him.
All right, so we can't approve Kristen Milliette then?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Chuck. I move for the renewal application of Kristen Milliette.
This is Cheryl.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the renewal reinstatement application for Kristen Milliette. All those in favor, Eric Fries, aye. Charles Hoffman.
Aye.
Bert Peterson.
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley.
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Hearing no opposition, Kristen Milliette has been approved. Okay. I just obviously make a request to board staff to try to continue to contact Michael Feliciano since he has expired as of today.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Number nine, review consideration of possible action in board policies and procedures, payment of annual leave.
Okay, Mr. Chair, this came up as a result of our current availability of funds at the end of the fiscal year. It was a combination of two things. We have some money left over at the end of the year, and also I have quite a bit of vacation pay that is just sitting in there. So I spoke with another executive director, and he said, well, you know, you could just write a policy to pay out vacation or annual leave. And then, you know, we're in the same situation, but worse with my other board. So having that much vacation just sitting there leaves us open to a budget issue when the staff member leaves who has a lot of vacation, because that gets paid out. So, for instance, if Amber were to have 320 hours of annual leave and she left employment here, we would have to pay all of that out, whether we had the money available in the budget or not. So this is a way to kind of keep it so the risk isn't so high.
And is this a new form or is this already in place?
This is new for us.
Okay. And who wrote it?
It was originally written by the executive director of the Respiratory Care Examiners Board.
Okay. I'm assuming that both you and Amber have read over this form?
Did you want to do executive session? Mr. Chair, could I move
that
we go into executive session for legal advice?
This is Bart. I move to go into executive session for legal advice.
Second.
The move and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice as of 10:04 a.m. All those in favor, Eric Fries, aye. Charles Boplin.
Aye.
Bart Peterson.
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley.
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Hearing no opposition, we are in executive session.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Okay. Good to go?
Yes.
Recording again?
Yes.
Okay.
This this is Bart. I'd like to ask staff to consult the pending policy with ADOA and then return to us with the policy at the next meeting for consideration.
Mr. Chuck, I second.
Well, I think that was just a direct board staff.
Well, I highly suggest.
Yeah, ditto.
I highly suggest.
Okay, anything else want to be discussed on this particular subject? All right. I will move on to number 10, review, discussion, and possible action, board business and reports. So, executive director's report.
Okay, so the first one is 10A1, the financial report. We've been talking about this the last few meetings, how we have more money left over than I had anticipated. I did meet with Susie at CSB a couple of weeks ago, and we found a few things that hadn't been taken into consideration, but we're still looking at approximately $9,800 left over at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. Okay, item 10.
This is Laura. You guys are out right now, right?
Yeah, we're in open session again.
What did I miss?
On item 9A, the payment of annual leave, Mr. Peterson.
So you got the legal advice and you're still on that same item?
No, we finished up that item, and Mr. Peterson directed staff to consult with ADOA on that policy and return with information at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Item 10A2, review of recent board staff activities. There's really been, I know we haven't gone to any special meetings or anything, but the staff member from occupational therapy has been out the last week, so Amber has been helping out on that side. While continuing to do an outstanding job on her own job.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, item 10B, 2018 Auditor General Performance Audit Follow-Up. So I think we spoke in the last meeting about the six-month follow-up, and I sent in the response. The Auditor General's office only had two items they needed to be clarified, and those will be easy enough to work with. There is one other item on the response that I'm going to need to change, and that is related to our five-year or our rules package that we plan on pursuing. So I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So we're in good shape on the follow-up with the Auditor General's office. Okay, item 10C, sunset review, update on communication related to locating a sponsor for the continuation bill. I met with Emily Rajalkovich at the governor's office on Friday afternoon and talked to her a little bit about that, and she feels it would be appropriate to go ahead and try to establish some contacts, but to not really expect much until after the session is over.
Okay, and you do obviously Heather Carter's office, and we do have some other members who have expressed interest. Is that correct?
Well, they have not expressed interest this time around, but you know they're members of the legislature that we've worked with in the past, be it the Athletic Training Board or the Occupational Therapy Board. Ideally, I believe it would be somebody who's on the Health and Human Services Committee.
Okay. And when is this latest session over?
Boy, they're going long. There's still quite a few bills out there that need attention, so it's not looking like they're going to finish in the next week or two. I think they try to finish mid-April or the third week of April normally. So we're past that.
So by the end of the month, though?
Hopefully. Right. I mean, the budget needs to be approved before the beginning of the fiscal year.
Right, so. That would be nice.
Okay. Item 10D, administrative project status. Policies and procedures, we're still updating those. I'll continue to update. I gave you one today, and we identified another one that we need to start on. Then board automation or e-licensing, there's no update on that. The CE broker implementation, we're projected to have a May 13th, 2019 launch. So it will be very interesting to see what that looks like. And again, I want to emphasize that this is not required of athletic trainers to use this. It's just a convenience, especially if they're located in, if they have licenses in multiple states, it would be helpful for them. And then finally on that one, item 4, proposed rule revisions. So I met with Emily Rajokovich at the governor's office on Friday, like I said, and I had given her our rules with red lines to show, you know, what we wanted to change. And the governor's office had two major issues. One being the athletic training service plan or protocol, the physician's protocol. You know, the governor's office is really focusing on streamlining the licensure process and making things easier for people, yet they still understand that the athletic trainers are required by law to work under the supervision of a physician. So we were, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other, and then finally I said, well, what if they sign or check an attestation that they are aware that they're supposed to be practicing under a licensed physician and have them provide the name and license number of that physician. So Ms. Rajokovich, she seemed happy with that, you know, but it depends on what the board would like to pursue on that. So I don't believe we can get into any details about that because of the way that it's on the agenda.
Right.
I will definitely put it on for June. The other one, let me make a note here before I forget.
Karen, if I'm unavailable for the June meeting when this comes back up, on the agenda, can I submit something to you? Just my thoughts or whatever, if it's put onto the agenda? Or how can I speak to this if I'm not present?
Yes, so as long as we provide it to all the board members at the same time, yes, we can do that. And you won't be voting by proxy or anything, but you know, you will let your opinion be known.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the second item that they had issue with was the statutes and rules exam. So we were proposing that we change it so that instead of being required before their first renewal, it would be required at initial licensure or before they can obtain their initial license. The governor's office would honestly rather see it go away. She said a lot of agencies are moving away from their jurisprudence exam. I needed to check to make sure we had the authority to do that in our statutes. But I said, you know, this just went through in the 2012 rules package, and
right.
We didn't have authority in statutes. GIRC would have never approved it. So.
Right. So, I'm assuming putting that on future agenda items as well?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
As a result of some of the legislation that has passed and will likely pass, there are other rules that will have to be added to that package. We'll have to add rules for reciprocity, and the temporary licensure will also change some of the rules. Okay, then item 10E, update on board member appointments and reappointments. I did hear back from the governor's office on that, and they're working on it.
And great answer.
Okay, and item 10F, 2019 legislative session, bills to watch. Try to get through these as quickly as I can. The first one, HB 2118, unauthorized practice health professions. That makes it a class 5 felony to engage in unauthorized practice of a health profession, and it requires that the board refer the complaint to the county attorney or the attorney general's office for prosecution. We also have to, the board has to verify the licensure certification or the lack thereof. We have to retain all the documentation related to that for 10 years. We have to post the information on unlicensed or unauthorized practice on our website for 5 years. And this would give the board the authority to issue a cease and desist order. The last meeting on that was on April 4th. It should get a third read and then go back to the House, but it's not scheduled as of the last time I checked. Bill HB 2131 requires that the board establish a citizen portal that allows them to access personal information and correct any errors or delete financial information, and we don't keep financial information on our website, so that doesn't apply. Personal information includes name, phone number, mailing address, email, social security number, and financial information. This doesn't start until 2024. We would have to have a cost estimate by January 1st, 2023, and then it would start in 2024.
So out of curiosity, the e-licensing portal allows that, right?
The e-licensing portal allows them to change their phone number, their mailing address, and that's it.
So you'd either have to change the e-licensing portal to accommodate that or create a different vehicle for that?
Yes. Yes. The reason that the system does not allow them to change their email is because their sign-on is based on that. And, we'll have to work with whatever consultant on getting the system reprogrammed. It has passed through the House. It's currently in the Senate. Committee of the Whole should be next. It's getting near the end of the process. But you never know what could happen. Next one is HB 2182. Requires criteria for a state, county, or municipal license or permit to be stated in clear and unambiguous language. That would be determined by a court, whether it's clear and unambiguous. And it cannot be determined with deference to the legislature or state agency. So we can't be involved in them determining whether it was unambiguous. That one has passed in the House. It's currently in the Senate. Next should be third read. It's getting very close to the end. HB 2463 requires that we post a statement on our website it's pursuant to Section 41.1093.01, Arizona Revised Statutes, and agencies shall limit all occupational regulations to regulations that are demonstrated to be necessary to specifically fulfill a public health, safety, or welfare concern. And then it goes on to say that the applicants have the right to appeal any of those requirements. This was signed on March 22nd. So that'll be another project, is making sure that both of the agencies have that notice everywhere on the website and on all letters, etc. Okay, HB 2569, this was signed on April 10th. It will require funding to program in Salesforce. It deals with reciprocity. I can't remember if we talked about it in detail last time, but it does require that we issue a license to a person who establishes residence in Arizona. They have to have been licensed and practicing in another state for at least a year. They had to have passed the BOC exam in that other state if it's required by that other state. So I believe there might be just one other state out there that does not require the BOC exam. So, and I'm thinking it's Kansas. Do you know? It's Texas? Okay, so if we had an applicant from Texas, we could not require that they have passed the BOC exam if they apply by reciprocity. But they wouldn't qualify for reciprocity. So there are other exclusions. They can't have had disciplinary actions. They can't be in the middle of a complaint, and so on. So I encourage you to read that one. Okay, HB 2660. This was transmitted to the governor's office on April 29th. It modifies the statute that went through last year, where an applicant can petition the board to find out if their previous criminal history would prevent them from qualifying for a license. It adds that the conviction couldn't have happened. If the conviction had happened more than 7 years ago, then we couldn't consider it unless it was something violent, violence against the child, et cetera. Okay, now moving on to the Senate bills. SB 1062 requires that the board have an address of record for each licensee that may be publicly disclosed and have the telephone or email address of each licensee who is required to maintain patient medical records. It also allows the licensee to opt out of that disclosure. On April 24th, it was retained on the calendar in the House and until the House decides to debate it. So I don't know when that will come back. SB 1086, this is in regards to temporary licensure. That was transmitted to the governor May 2nd. It will also require reprogramming in Salesforce. This is the one that states that the board may grant authority to the board's executive director to issue and approve licenses, certifications, registration, preceptorships, reinstatements, or waivers that meet all of the requirements that are listed. So they couldn't have had a license suspended or revoked. They have to meet all the requirements for licensure, can't be under investigation, can't have surrendered their license, can't be engaged in criminal or civil conduct that would be considered unprofessional, and so on. Then it also adds temporary licensure, which we already have. So that I don't believe would affect us. Except that we would have to issue it within 30 days, but we always do that. Okay. Let's see, that was 1086. SB 1096, Health Professionals Data Repository Appropriation. That requires that we collect information on our licensees, but we don't have information about what that would include. That will also require reprogramming Salesforce to get that additional information. I believe that doesn't begin for another year or two, but I didn't print out the information on that. SB 1164, Ombudsman Citizens Aids Executive Session Access. That, I believe, failed. And what that is if we go into executive session and a member of the public believes that something was a little fishy about what happened in that executive session, like they believe maybe there was a vote done or something was discussed that shouldn't have been, then the Ombudsman's office would have access to the minutes or recording of that executive session. But again, I believe it failed. Let me just check.
Okay.
I don't have that on my list either, so I'll have to find out. Okay, and then finally for the bills, SB 1482, state agencies fee increase limit. So that limits the amount that we can increase our fees. It has to be in alignment with, I can't remember the term, but the cost of living index. So if the cost of living index went up 2%, then we couldn't increase our fees by more than that. But they don't let us increase our fees anyway, so it doesn't really apply.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the aforementioned items, does anybody else have anything else for future agenda items?
No.
All right. Hearing none. Call to the public. I know we have Lori. Do we have anybody else? Nobody else? So, Lori, you got anything?
No, I don't. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay. This is Chuck. I move to adjourn.
So moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting as of 10:29 a.m. All those in favor, Eric Fries, aye. Charles Bachman?
Aye.
Mark Peterson?
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley?
Aye.
Sherilyn Grum?
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, we are adjourned. Thank you.